أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طه، ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى. الرحمن على العرش استوى. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. فلما آتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع عليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى. وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى. إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى. فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء، ونعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم افتح علينا فتحا مبينا. اللهم ألهمنا وسددنا. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعوذ بك من شر نفسي. Always, every time when I make dua, either repeat after me or say ameen. Because after 3-4 days, after 1 week, you can master the same dua identically. And it's a very beautiful dua. And also, before we seek any knowledge, we ask Allah, oh Allah, give us the depth of knowledge, the hikmah of knowledge, the nur of knowledge, the wisdom of knowledge, the light of knowledge, the understanding, the comprehending, the barakah, the blessing, the tawfiq, the mercy, the ability to live according to this knowledge and convey the message to others. And we're going to start it today by the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're going to go to the revelation and the beginning of revelation. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to scan the area in Quran it can benefit to us. What it means? We said in the beginning of this journey together is today Quran is an ocean. But what we need today, we need first the sequence of this knowledge can lead us to know how we can live according to what Allah wants. And what I'm going to lead you with inshallah today and the next whatever amount of days we have in our life together is how the revelation came and how this revelation, if we look at it, it can reflect in our life too. Why? Because we have to go back and understand. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the last verse in Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, He did not say, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ قُرْآنَكُمْ. He did not say, today I completed Quran. He said, today I completed your deen. What's the difference between Quran and deen? Quran is a revelation. But the deen is the way of life. You remember? Now, according to the early scholar, what do you say? They say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in 23 years, he gave us a living Quran, a living complete deen, 100%. Meaning the best deen was the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best example is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Radiallahu anhu ajma'in. By this way, the early scholar, what do you say? This revelation, this is a sequence of revelation over 23 years is the role model for all of us. And we're going to start it today. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started revealing Quran over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many Muslims in Mecca now? Nobody. Only Rasulullah now, he will become a Muslim. Sure, he was in a state of Islam. Allah saved him from shirk and partner with Allah. He used to be meditating in a cave Hira. And he used to always talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And you find it until today. You find a person go to calamity, a person go to some trial, and all of a sudden he sit alone. He's spending some time alone, searching. Today, honest to Allah, mankind, the majority is searching. Muslim and non-Muslim alike. Especially us, the one who've been here for 25 years, 30 years, 40 years. Why? Because now we have the money, we have the houses, we have the business, we have the car, we have the luxury of life, but we discover the reality. We're so empty. And we're losing what we used to have. And we're losing it so fast, and our generation and our youth is losing it so fast. And now we start waking. What's going on? And I believe the Ummah in the last 15, 20 years in the beginning of the awakening time. Anybody close the door, please? And this awakening time, we are in the beginning of awakening time. And for all of you, don't ever forget what I'm going to say. If somebody sleeps and you want to wake him up, can you wake up? He might be wake up, but maybe he punches you in the face. You know, leave me alone. Why? Because you wake him in a very bad, nasty manner. And also, can you wake up somebody up in the middle of a sleep and just do like this? You massage the person? The person will go deep asleep. I'm serious. He loves it. Now, by this way, you cannot massage a person sleeping with the intention to wake him up, and you cannot beat him up. You have to be, you know, simple and sensible and patient. By this way, I can, excuse me, wake up. It's very important. I want to talk to you. And you give it some time. Why? Because us as a human being, we do not awake just like that in a moment. Very few people have the tolerance to wake up right away. Us as a Muslim, because the amount of eating and what we eating, it takes us another half an hour or 1 hour to just wake up. And once we wake up, we have another half an hour, 1 hour to be normal and stabilize our personality. Leave me alone, I just awake. Don't talk to me now. And we have an attitude. Why? Why we have that? Because we are in a state of sleeping inside, not outside. It's not the body who's sleeping. It's the soul is sleeping. Because if the soul is up, now let's go to our youth. And you have, what do you call it, field trip, or whatever trip by school. They wake up like whatever. And they wake up on time. You do not have even to wake them up. Or let's go to the zoo, or Walt Disney. They will be, ya Allah, like a rocket. But let's go to a session. Let's go to a Brother Ahmed session. Oh, mommy, not today. I do not feel well. Leave me alone. Why? Because the zeal is not there. By this way, when I have the zeal, I want to do. By this way, the Ummah, do you think the Ummah now have a zeal? No. The zeal only in a few, and the majority in a deep sleep. And what happened? What happened, may Allah forgive our scholar and learned people and all this jama'at. Everyone wake you up in different way. Somebody said, wake up, put your shoes on. The other one, no, 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 wake up, put your coat on. The other one, wake up, put your hat on. Everybody will tell you to wake up and do something else. And the main thing is, you're not even wake up yet. Because also something very important, when a person is awake, wonder what happened. In the first few minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, the person is not stable yet. By this way, if you ask me today where we are, the majority of us, between a state of sleeping, or a state of maybe thinking about awakening, or a state of wanting to wake up, or a state of the beginning of awakeness. Now, can I come to the person who really start to be awake and command him of all kind of action and give him a big task? Tell me honest. Can you do that? I would be a fool. Can I give you like a set of a glass or a china until you carry it and do this and serve other? You might be carrying, but for how long? Maybe one or two steps and boom, you would break the whole thing. And even you can fall down and break your neck too. This is an example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal Quran. Look now to the revelation. How it arrived and what was the job of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the job of the companion. Because today, if you are awake and you consider yourself awake, you have to imitate whom? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you are awake and imitating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't ever go to Medina unless you finish Mecca. I challenge you, don't ever go to Medina until you finish Mecca, and otherwise you will be judged in the front of Allah so severely. Why? Because you have no right. I say this one time in Jeddah, in Saudi Arabia, and some people was wanted to kill me. Why? Because today, all we are running after the regulation. We want everybody to follow the regulation. But the regulation for a person who have already Islam, already Iman, ready to implement what Allah wants. How many of us, old and young, ready to do that? And how many of us ever receive the basic da'wah until we build Iman and Yaqeen to the point we're ready to say, Sami'na wa ata'na, we listen and we obey. It's not happening. Even us as adults, we never have it. We are from a state of jahiliyyah to Quran, to Hadith, to Sharia, to regulation, and we never have the first prayer. Never, none of us. Not us, not the people before us. Because even if you go back 20 years ago, look at your own country, where you're coming from, all of us. We are in a state of ignorance. Music, dancing, drugs, this, alcohol, you know, soccer, game, cricket, whatever. Look at your people, all of them, cricket. It's a tradition. Is it the Sunnah of Rasulullah? I see men, it's almost like Quran, like Hadith. It has to be every Saturday and Sunday praying ready. You go to Arabic people, soccer games. You go to another game, whatever. Each one of us have diseases. With La ilaha illallah, is that there? By this way, can I go on implementing all the command of Sharia over people is bye-bye? This is not Al-Nusra Sharia. It's not Sharia. I said it before. This was Talibani faith. This was Talibani faith. Wallahi, I swear by Allah. I swear by Allah, the one who see me and bear witness. The day Talibani came, I know it is the end. The day they took Afghanistan, I know the end is coming. Why? Because nobody, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, nobody come hard in this deen without Allah disgracing. Don't ever go hard in Muslim. Don't go hard. If you go hard, Allah will be hard on you. If you be tough, Allah will be tough on you. You have 7.5 million Muslim women have nothing to do with Islam. They are by Muslim. They never have any Islam and only worry about murder and only worry about putting them in a tent. Where is love? Where is ta'leef? Where is the brotherhood? Where is the sisterhood? Where is their need? Where is all the companionship? Where is all the da'wah is done? Because if you study the structure of Afghanistan and Afghani people, you cry, like all of us. They live in the darkness in the time of the communists. The majority of them, even atheists, is not a Muslim. I met a lot of them, they're not even a Muslim. They have the complete ideology of the communists. They might say Muhammad, Abdullah, whatever, but inside, he's not a believer. And you have another tribalism inside Afghanistan. A lot of tribalism. Group and whatever, and every group believe in what they want. And they're ready to kill each other for what they want. You have the drug dealer. You have all kind of group, I'm not going to mention names. But you have Islam? No Islam. Very few people have Islam. Few. Because actually the majority of the women was in a tent is between 35, 40 and young people. Meaning if you study the history of Afghanistan in the last 50 years, meaning this people was the children and youth and women of the world. Meaning they grew up in a period of time, no men around at all. No men around at all. 1.5 million Muslim men died. Another 1.5 million crippled and handicapped. Meaning you're talking about 3.5 million women without no men at all. Without any dawah. Can I go and implement in Medina? The end of Medina? Come on. Implement it in whom? Who tell me that? Tell me. And we happy. Wallahi, we do not know Islam. And they have 66 scholars, I do not get it. 66 scholars, none of them know what I'm talking about. None of them have mercy in their heart. Where is mercy out of the Ummah? But this was the first revelation, we know it. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was meditating and he started hearing something. And after that, the hearing starts repeated. And after that, the hearing we know, you are Rasulullah, Anta Rasulullah, Ya Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah. And he used to go and worry and go to Khadija radiallahu anhu. I'm not going to the detail because a lot of you know the details. Because if we go to the detail, we will lose a lot of time. But I'm going to focus on the detail is important to us now. Now, according to the majority of the Ummah, except a few, but as we go with the majority, what is the first chapter in Quran? Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra. Today, again, a lot of Muslims take that and do not remember the following verse. Iqra what? Just Iqra and that's it. Oh my daughter, go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands to read. Read. And we become so educated with everything except Allah. But read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Iqra' by the name of Allah, the one He created you. Not any Iqra'. Not any Iqra'. But we take this verse and we amplify it. And we said, oh, we have to be the reader, we have to be the learner. The first verse in Quran is Iqra. Yes, correct. But watch what's going on next. What's the following of revelation? And try to figure out what Allah asked Rasulullah to do. He was illiterate. There's a wisdom behind it. But we cannot stuck in one wisdom and ignore the rest of the wisdom. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. خلق الإنسان من علق. اقرا وربك الاكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الانسان ما لم يعلم. والله if you hear it truthfully to Allah, it doesn't need tafsir. It doesn't need tafsir. The tafsir inside. You read by the name of Allah, the most akram, the one is akram, the most high. الذي علم بالقلم, the one he teach with pen. And this has a story. You know the story behind it? I said it before, when people came from Yemen and asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, talk to us about who's Allah, who's the creator? He said, كان الله. Allah was. وما كان شيئا قبله. And nothing was exist before Him. And the first thing Allah created in the whole kingdom of Allah, the pen. The first creation of Allah was a pen. And the pen told by the will of Allah. And he asked Allah, Allah, what I write? He said, write everything until ما شاء الله كان. Write everything until whatever Allah ordained. And the pen wrote everything with the wisdom and the ultimate knowledge of Allah. Where he wrote it? In a tablet. اللوح المحفوظ. The protected one. Al-Imam al-Mubin, it has many names. The mother of the book, Umm al-Kitab. The one, every time you go to be a baby or a plot in your mother womb, after 4 months, wonder what happened, an angel coming with a copy of your mother of the book. A copy of your mother of the book and chain you with it. Do you know the early scholar what they say? They said the copy is evidence to you or against you. Finished. By this way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look in the day of judgment, He looked to the tablets and He tell you, come. Did you change it or you keep it the way it is? Anyway, by this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, He is the one, He taught us. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. He taught mankind what never he knew. Taught us a language, taught us everything. But in here is a point. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time, He emphasized the knowledge of Allah or the knowledge of the things we do and causing mischief between each other? Tell me. Today, our young youth, we tell them to go and study. And we encourage them to study. And we're bringing all the ahadith, ayat about the study. But in the meantime, they have no Islam. They have no Islam. And after 7 years, after they learned their Islam in college, we said, what are we going to do? If we honest, why we do not give them first a dose, a very strong dose of Islam, and Iman, and knowledge, and after that, go. By the way, at least you have something to hold tight to.
But we do not have it. Because we emphasize the knowledge of dunya and we not emphasize the knowledge of akhirah. Which what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about. And after that, if you really read Surah Al-Alaq, it will be amazing because it's all warning. Warning toward Allah. Now you want homework? I want you to read Surah Al-Alaq, Al-Muzzammil wal-Muddaffir. I'm going to glimpse from it. But I want you to read it and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Read it with your heart. Don't read it with your eye. Read it with your heart. And tomorrow, inshallah, every one of you, I will ask her, he or she, what you gain. Don't repeat. Don't give me notes. Tell me what's coming in your heart when you read it. What's the message you receive? I do not need a big lecture. One sentence. One topic. Something coming in your heart. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time, he went to Khadija radiallahu anha. Now, in here we have to stop for a moment. Is, please close the door. Is in Islam any rule for marriage about age? No. There's no age barrier in Islam for marriage, young or old. The main barrier is the purpose, the reason. A young man marry an old woman. And in the meantime, an old man marry a young lady. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's our teacher. He set the example. Why he married Khadija? For her quality. For her manner. If you read about her, you cry. Even before she became a Muslim. They said she was a dignified lady. And what she did? She went and proposed. Can a woman propose in Islam? Yes, she can, but with manner. If you see somebody's good, you should run after. Is anything something wrong about that? No. But with dignity. Why? Not to break your dignity. For example, you send somebody who knows a person and said, so and so, without mentioning name, interesting, and she won't propose to you. Do you think you're looking for such a woman in this quality? There's nothing wrong with that. Because it's Khadija radiallahu anha, she set the example. The companion did it between each other, male and female. But today, again, when we hear about somebody with money or status, we run. But when somebody with a good manner or good akhlaq or good knowledge, he doesn't have money, he doesn't have it. Where are he going to let you live? You see, the first thing is, we talk about all the material things. We never talk about Allah for a second. We never mention the word Allah. We never worry about the akhlaq and manner of the person, where it will lead you. This is where we are. But in the old days, the first teaching is Rasulullah was married to whom? Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija was a very rich woman. Very rich. One of the most richest women in the Arabic Peninsula. I will escape 9 years for a woman. I will escape 9 years for a woman. How Khadija died? Khadija died and in her house she has no piece of bread. Khadija radiallahu anha, she died, and in her own house, she has no piece of bread. But look to Khadija what she gave. Khadija radiallahu anha, Jibreel alayhi salam came from Allah direct, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, aqri' Khadija salam. Give Khadija salam from Allah. Allah give her salam. And tell her, Ya Khadija, Inna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swabbed your house with a house in Jannah from gold and doors and all kind of quality. Do you have that in the day of death? Or you worry about what you're owning? What happened to Khadija's money in 9 years? She said, "Oh Muhammad, my account is my account. Your account is your account. 50-50. American style." Imagine if Khadija died, she does that. She would be mentioned now. She would be so exalted in the kingdom of Allah. And today, we want lecture. We want Islam, but we do not want to imitate. Where is Khadija? Where is the woman said, "I want to be like Khadija"? But we won't be like Khadija and buy a book like Khadija. But we do not want to do like Khadija. Khadija ran and proposed to a man with a quality. She saw a quality, she ran for it. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the revelation. And he came and he was crying and was fearing what's going on. She said, "Ya Muhammad, don't worry about it. You are a man with a good character. You always take care about the widow, the needy. You are honest. Honest, you hear that? Honest. You are Amin. Trusty. Where is our youth? Full of lies and cheating." And what happened to Khadija? What was the first lesson to teach us? And she was not a Muslim. She said, "Ya Muhammad, come, when this person or whatever preacher show up to you, let me know." And what she did? He tell her, "I saw him." She took her hijab off. She said, "Can you see him?" He said, "No." She said, "Wallahi, he is not a shaitan, he's an angel." She said, "If shaitan, he will be here. If he's angel, he will be shy and leave." And what are we teaching? This is what it teach us. It teach us as a woman, even if you are alone, don't be so naked. It's very dangerous. Why? Islam teach us, if you are alone, you're not alone. You have jinn, you have shayateen. They can look at you, they can envy you, they can destroy you, they can come, they possess you. And after that, we complain. I bear witness today, the majority of our ummah is possessed. We have a lot of shayateen with us. Why? Of our negligence. According to Sharia and the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman should be in a state of modesty even if she's alone. I talked about yesterday. Can a woman Muslim with another woman Muslim, once they are together, boom, they take off everything and they show their body? No, it's not recommended. Highly not recommended. Why? Anybody tell me why? Number one, for envy. Envy and jealousy. Envy and jealousy can destroy you. And also, why you won't show your body? Why? For who? What you want to prove? If Allah give you certain beauty, save it. Save it as the time is needed. Protect it. It's a trust. Today we show off to ourselves, and before we know it, we destroy ourselves. And also for manner. And also for protection from jinn. I have many situations with young ladies is possessed with jinn. Why? Because they're not really protecting themselves even when they are alone. Why when we go to the bathroom, we go quick and leave quick? It's a bad habit today. I see our young youth go to the bathroom, 45 minutes underneath the water. 1 hour underneath the water. This is the house of shaitan. This is the house of jinn. Meaning, if I'm a Muslim, I go quick with the left foot, take the shower, take the ghusl, whatever it is, 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes, leave. There's not a place to stay. It's not a place to look in the mirror. It's not a place to sing. No. This is a place to quit. Do your need and get her out. It's the worst place to be. This is the most weakest time you will be in your life. It's no time. You are weak and vulnerable to attack of shaitan more than battle. I challenge you, any woman or young man, spending time in the bathroom, he is possessed. A sign of a possessed, I can tell you inshallah. One of them, he loves the bathroom. The first stage, you love the bathroom. You love to be alone. You do not like to talk too much. You have a lot of doubt. You are uncertain. Or you're so scared. You're not sure. You always fear. You're not stable. You always look to people in the bad eye, meaning people is looking at me. Is all the sign of possessed. You're not doing dhikr. You're running away from dhikr and Quran and halaqah. Sometimes here is a sign also you do not like food because they want to make you weak physically and emotionally. You cannot go to sleep. You see bad dreams. You see animal in a dream. You're always in a scare. All of this sign, what it tell me? A person has no iman and yaqeen. A person far away from Allah. And these people also have something else. People who are possessed, they have also another problem. They are not content. They do not thank Allah. They always look at other. Do you see? You have one, you have them all. They miserable. Whatever what Allah gives them, they not in a state of thanks to Allah. Because if you are a Muslim in a state of thanks to Allah, what happened? You are calm. You are peaceful. You thank Allah. You have tranquility. You do not worry what people look. You do not worry about what people say. You worry about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first lesson we learn. Because my main concern is when we go and we take a lesson one at a time. Khadija radiallahu anha in 9 years, what she did? She's supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With whom money? With her own money. For the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if our woman, all they worry about it accumulating. And who's my money and who's his money? And it makes sure she has a separate account hidden or separate place for her own money. And we become so stingy. How many of us, when we hear good deed, we run, we do? This is the quality of a Muslim. Because you do not know if you die today or tomorrow. One of the quality of the Muslim, do not wait for a good deed. Do not wait. If Allah opened any good deed, you do it today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow I do not know if I'm alive or not. If I wait until tomorrow, meaning I'm finished. Tomorrow will be tomorrow, tomorrow will be tomorrow. Oh, but for my children. Oh, I have to protect them. I have to secure their life. I have to leave them something to make them happy. This shirt, by the way, this association with Allah. And I promise you, nobody leave a lot of money to his own kids and the kids will be happy. I promise you. Why? Because I believe in Allah. And I believe in the promise of Allah. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, he died. And in the moment of dying, he has 15 children. And he left only 12 dirham. 12 dirham, like 12 cents. For 15 kids. And all of them was a big merchant later on. What he said, imagine if Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, he talked like us. We'll talk about him. Why we talk about him? Why he become having this status? Because of what he done. He sets a role model. What's the benefit of what we hear if we do not live it? And try at least to seek Allah open for me. Let me be like those people. Let me be with Khadija. Today I want to be with Khadija. But I do not want to imitate Khadija. We love Khadija. But I'm the enemy of Khadija. With my tongue, I love Khadija. With my action, I'm a Jewish. I love money, I'm stingy. What the people of Israel, what they say? Allah is bakhil. Allah is stingy, astaghfirullah al-azim. Allah answer. Allah is kareem. يداه مبسوطتان. His hand is open to all of mankind. ينفق كيف يشاء. He spends the way he wants. You want to know who you are toward Allah? See your quality. Allah is generous. He loves a generous one. And Allah, He hates stingy. And He still hates the person who is stingy. Today, if we never stingy in America and Europe and Australia, this will be the condition of the Muslim? Imagine if we have a Muslim fund, and each body is trapped with money, he's spending and toward all kind of activity. This will be our condition. We'll have a station, many stations, not one, many. I know some of you can supporting Islamic session over the Indian channel every week without no problem and will not even cause a dent. All the Hindu do it. And we give the money to the Hindu and the Sikh to advertise our business. Instead of buying at least 1 hour for Islamic session, and we have our own Islamic advertising. And if you ask how much money, you will be crying. You will be crying. You cannot afford 1 hour a week. Wallahi, I bear witness, I know some of you can afford even 10 hours a week and it will not cause a dent in their budget. But where is the heart? Khadija has a heart. She believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which one of among all his wife he loved most? Khadija. To the point, Aisha radiallahu anha, she was jealous. And Aisha radiallahu anha was famous for what? She was very pretty, very young, very intelligent. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Aisha radiallahu anha in her, what age?
It's seven,
and he married her approximately 9 years old. Meaning, she become his wife, okay, and he really has the first intimacy with her approximately by 9, 9 and a half. And when Rasulullah SAW died, what his age?
18.
Her age, his age?
63.
63. What is her age?
19
approximately. Meaning now, a girl in the most bright time of her life. Now listen to this conversation between Rasulullah and Aisha later on. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes used to cry. And she said, "Oh Rasulullah, why are you crying?" He said, "I miss Khadija." 10 years later, he said, "I miss Khadija." She said, "Ya Rasulullah, here am I. I'm with you. And you still remember Khadija?" He said, "Be quiet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never switched me with a woman like Khadija." But listen to what he said. She believe in me when people deny me. She is supporting me when people do not give me. She is spending for Allah when nobody wants to spend. She give me the children with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow me to have the children from anyone except her. And he used to cry and remember Khadija. Now what he remember? Her beauty? He remember her house? He remember her car, her jewelry? No. He remembers the quality. The quality never die. You can die, but your quality never die. I ask you by the name of Allah, think for a moment. If you die, why people will remember you? Why people will make dua for you? Tell me, why? Who are you? Why I will make dua for you when you die? Why I come to your janazah? Tell me. Why Muslim and non-Muslim can make dua for you? Why? Why the earth will make dua for you? What you did? Or what you're doing? How much you're spending? How much you're sacrificing? How much you remember Allah? How much you're supporting all the action for Allah? How? But today, we want our iman to be raised, but no action. We want to have the quality, but without no sacrifice. I promise you one thing. You want to have quality, You want Allah shower with you with quality, you have to sacrifice. You have no other way. No other way. You can come in here for a session daily, for 10 hours. Until you sacrifice, you're not going anywhere. If you believe coming to Brother Ahmad session, and mashallah you become Rabbi al-Adawiyya, or you become Mary alayhi salam, you're nuts. You have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice. Do you know the majority of the companion was like your age? The majority of the companion of Rasulullah was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14 years old. Only few was old. But is this youth? Is this a boy who was a companion of Rasulullah? Was lying. Lying. Sit down, please, nicely. Always when you sit down, halaqa, sit with humble and humility. The more you sit with humble and humility, the more Allah will give you. And please leave your jacket alone. Leave it. Leave it alone. Learn how to sit. The first stage of knowledge is sitting. Imagine now, we take a glimpse or a few minutes of the beginning of revelation and how many advice we can gain from it. Tell me how many advice we can gain from it, young and old. At this time is no hijab, there's no salah, there's no regulation, none at all. But what's the main message? What's the main message at this time? If you look to Quran Makki, the Quran of Mecca, something completely always joined. Something is repeated over and over again. Whoever tell me, he will be the lucky one. Be patient and think. A word in the Quran Makki always repeated. A word about Allah. I make it easy for you. A word about Allah. Allah described himself by a word. All the Quran Makki repeated this word completely. What is the word? What's that?
Taqwa.
Taqwa. I said the name of Allah, a quality of Allah. Be specific, you're close, very close. Be specific, a word, one word. You always said it. You lost it. Word, one word. All the Quran Makki is starting by one word. You guys are nuts. Read Surah Al-Fatiha. Look at the verse I just recited. اقرأ باسم ربك. اقرأ وربك. By this way, a word always repeated. What is it? Rab. And we have to stop in here for a moment. Why? This moment, what many scholars wrote books about it. What's the difference between word ilah and word rab? This is a constitution of Islam. What's the difference between ilah and rab?
Rab is the owner.
Is the owner. Being sure, yes, is the owner. What else? Is many quality underneath rab. Huh?
Lord.
I give you milestone or no?
Yes.
Who have milestone? Who have milestone, please? Show me your hand. Who have milestone? You guys have it. You have it or no?
No.
You do not have it? Who have milestone? That's it? No, nobody among you have milestone? This should be read. It must. How many of the people who have milestone read it? Okay, now I'm going to give you an examination. Now you read milestone. In milestone, we talk about what I'm talking about. What's the difference between ilah and rab? You don't remember. Don't say something you're not sure. Can I tell you something honest? I bear witness to Allah. Last many days I have no time to read. Actually last couple of years. Do you know the knowledge I'm going to give you now? I have it when I was 17 years old. What I'm going to repeat now, this is exactly when I read 17 years old. When the first time I read Milestone. And I never forget it. Why? Why we remember and why we forget? If you read for reading, the ultimate, what is it? Zero. Zero. You have nothing. You can read the mirror. I see today is a big calamity. We do not even know how to read. We do not know how to read. And when we read American style. I read the book. Okay, mashallah, you read the book. What you gave, Milestone, the one you have, the first page of Milestone, it took me 6 months. 6 months to read the first page. Do you know why? Because I read the page, I go to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I study what he's talking about. I go to the major books containing the information about the beginning of Revelation. And I want to know what he's talking about. And after that, Milestone, I read it maybe one completely in one night. But after that, I read it again, and it took me 1.5 years to read it. But how can I read it? I was reading one page at a time, reflected on myself, go check different chapter of Quran, read it, analyze it, think about it, and I used to walk with what I'm hearing, what I'm reading. I used to walk, think about it. Oh Allah, Rabb, Ya Allah. Because at this moment, if you really read Milestone, honest to Allah, and understand it, you have to make ghusl. You have to make ghusl of Islam. Honest to Allah. You have to make the ghusl of Islam. Meaning, you have to embrace Islam again. Honest to Allah. Why? We never embrace Islam. Never. I was lucky. I was very fortunate. When I reached my puberty, my father came and tell me, come. Today I have to tell you something. I call you Ahmed. This is, I give you this name. And actually Allah give it to you, inshaAllah. Now, and I give you Islamic education. I let you make salah. But today, I cannot make you a Muslim. Now it's up to you to become a Muslim. Now it's up to you to embrace Islam. You have to embrace Islam for Allah. This is something I cannot do it for you. I did it for myself. You have to go to the journey between you and Allah and embrace Islam. Today, honest to Allah, I bear witness. The majority of Ummah need embracing Islam. But before you embracing Islam, you have to know what you're embracing. And this is what happened in the beginning of Revelation. Because La ilaha illallah is tough. It's very tough. Today we do not understand it. We do not have the magnitude of La ilaha illallah. What's the difference between ilah and Rabb? What's that? What meaning ilah? It's very simple. The Creator, the one deserves to be worshipped. Allah, the one deserves to be worshipped. The one you worship only. This Allah. What about Rabb? Rabb is the owner, the ruler. And put underneath it a million lines and don't ever forget it. Not only the owner. Rabb containing many quality. He's the owner, he's the provider, he's the controller, he's the ruler, he's the doer. Do you know when I'm talking like that what I remember? I remember yesterday. Do we believe in that? No, we do not believe in that. We believe in ourselves, we believe in our status, we believe in our money. But where is Allah in the picture? Is not there. Honest to Allah, we do not have Allah in our heart. Because if I take you now to the beginning of Mecca, all of us out of Mecca. We don't even start it yet. I believe it without no doubt. Why? Because once revelation comes, very simple. Say La ilaha illallah. This is a message. And the moment you say La ilaha illallah, young and old, you have to divorce everything except Allah. What about loyalty to my mother, loyalty to my father, loyalty to my money, loyalty to status, loyalty to clans? Is no loyalty. Now loyalty completely upside down to only one. Who's the owner of loyalty? Allah. Can I say my mommy, my daddy, my money? No, finished. Young and old, the moment you embrace Islam, no husband, no wife, nobody. You know, last 20 years, by the will of Allah, when I start doing da'wah, I find something amazing. Any man, any woman embraces Islam, the marriage has to be broken. Very few marriage continue. Anybody tell me why? Why any time me as a man or a woman embracing Islam, really embracing Islam, marriage has to be broken? Why? But not only that, something more deep than that. Yes? Goal. We do not have the same goal anymore. The soul is different. The mentality is different. The aim is different. And something more than that, deep down, belong to our topic today. Do you remember when we start marrying? Do we marry for Allah or marry for our life? Be honest. Ourselves. Now, in the beginning of Mecca, wonder what happened. Once you embrace Islam, Allah tried you. What is the trial? The trial, Allah tell you, come to me. You want me? You have to sell. You have to sell yourself, your wife, your husband, your money, your clans, your garden, your belonging, everything. Bring it. Do you need it from me? And if you do not want, Allah created the situation. To all the situation is an odd situation against you. It rings a bell. Today, anybody of us try to embrace Islam, said, oh, but you know something? This is a situation, this is whatever. You do not know Allah. Islam do not rise except in an odd situation. Islam do not rise in a comfortable situation. Islam rise in odd situation. Odd. It has to be tough. And the more tough it is, the more the reality of you show up. Let me share something with you and all of you in trouble. Anybody listen to me, you are in trouble. Because I will show you now what happened. One scholar 14 years ago, you know what he told me? He told me we are in marhala al-ghirbaniya. We are in a sifting time. We are in a sifting time by the will of Allah. What it mean? Anybody know what it mean? Allah is sifting us. Allah checking us. Who will go toward Allah? Who will go toward dunya? Can it be both? No way. Your journey has to be toward one. But I want a piece of each. It doesn't work. You go toward Allah, you sacrifice your life for Allah, and after that Allah can give you what He wants. But you cannot choose. Today, wonder what happened. Honest to Allah, I will tell you something. We have no strength in our heart to sacrifice for Allah. But we sacrifice Allah for dunya. We sacrifice Allah and akhirah for dunya. This is why the reality of La ilaha illallah is not there. And what about our youth? They have exactly our disease. They worship the school. They worship the degree. They worship the A, they worship the B, but they do not worship Allah. When a time coming to choose between Allah and A, they choose A. Imagine the companion did that. Where are we going? Do you think at this time Allah worry about A and B of our status? Or Allah worry about who belong to Him? Period. Allah, He wants slaves. Why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illiterate? Why Rasulullah is poor? Why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will know if I jump 9 years, his uncle died, his wife died, now he has nothing. And during this time of the Quran Makki, wonder what happened. Is it a hardship to be a Muslim in Mecca? Either you get beat up or your clans will be against you. This one, any young girl today, any young man, any wife, any husband, try to embrace Islam, the first one will be against him is his own family. Your own family is the enemy of you today when you embrace Islam. Why? Anybody tell me why? It's one word. One word belong to Allah and the message. Hey. The sunnah of Allah never change. The sunnah of Allah never change. What is meaning the sunnah of Allah? The way of Allah dealing with His creation never change. By this way, we cannot go in the day of judgment and the companions say, Ya Allah, you give us hard time. How comes you are in America? You do not give them hard time. We have to have hard time to establish the reality because Allah is just. What happens if I have no hard time? Meaning I'm a bye-bye person. Really? If you have no hard time in your life, meaning you are bye-bye. Why? Because if you go toward Allah, you will be tried. And the more you go toward Allah, the trial will increase. The trial will increase. The trial will increase until you reach the level when Allah check your sincerity. Now Allah give you victory. Now Allah open for you. Now Allah please you. Now Allah give you everything you want. But doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come over a session. You have to sell. You have to sell yourself to Allah, and after that Allah will do for you whatever He wants. And you have to be ready for whatever Allah wants from you. And after that, if Allah will make you happy, if Allah will give you pleasure, if Allah, whatever Allah will give you in this life and the after, is His business. But today we changed. By this way, if you look at the Quran, Makki is all Rabb. And believe me, we should spend a lot of time in the word Rabb. Who's the ruler of my house? Who's the ruler of my soul? Who's the ruler of my desire? Who's the ruler of my thinking? Who's most beloved to me? Who I'm thinking about most? What I want to accomplish? Because if I'm a slave, I'm a slave to my Rabb. The Arabic people know it. And this is why they fight Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, big fight. Big fight. Why? What do you used to say? You coming, you change our way of life. You see? You change our way of life. You change our relationship with our wife and kids. You change our relationship with our family and clans. You make us deny all the another statue and another God. Today, is our money is not God? Like one scholar, believe it or not, from India, he said something very beautiful. He said, in the old days, they used to worship a statue. And they used to seek help and support from a statue. He said, today, if you tell to any Muslim, come on, make sajda to the statue. He said, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, I will never do sajda to any statue. I believe in Allah. Allah is my Rabb. But he said, take this statue and cut it in a very fine slice. Slice the statue very fine slice. And this slice called it a dollar. He's my owner. He's my happiness. He's the one I save. He's the one I believe. He's the one he can protect me. He's the one he can take care about all my affairs. He's the one who can benefit my family. Who's that? Allah? No, it's a dollar. By this way, day and night, who are you thinking about, my dollar? Who are you thinking about, my account? Who are you thinking about what I have? He is a protector. Who's that? It's a dollar. He is the owner. He is the provider. He is the owner of happiness. He is the one I rely on. He is the one I trust most. He is the one, he can do everything. من قاد الحاجات. Who is the one can fulfill all the need? My dollar. And this is the ummah today in deep shirk. All of us, we have a lot of statue at home, but we think we do not have. No. I bear witness to Allah. If the Arabic people in the time of beginning of Islam see us, they will run away. Because they have 360 statues around the Kaaba. We have more than that. Our kids is a statue. Their status is a statue. Dollar is a statue. Our houses is a statue. Our clothing is a statue. Our even status in the locality is a statue. Our worry about each other is a statue. It's a statue, but it has a different title. Because who you worry about it? My dollar. Who you worry about it? So and so. Who you worry about it? My house. Who you worry about it? My account. Who you worry about it? What I have. Who you believe can take care about all you need? What I have. By this way, your tawakkul and yaqeen, not on Allah. In your dollar, in your husband, in your kids, in what you have, in your business, in your job, in your school. By this way, we become in a deep state of shirk. Do you know what Allah said in Quran, the one who believe? He forgive all the sins except shirk. He forgive all the sins except partner with Allah, association with Allah. I bear witness to Allah. Today we are in deep shirk. Not even a tiny, deep. If my husband loses his job, or the business goes down, wonder what happened. What are we going to do? We have to do something about it. Let's go to Mecca and Medina. Why are we spending this money? We have to save it. What are we going to do in the future? We have to have the future for our kids. What are we going to do? It's a routine. We hear it all the time. We have to secure. Listen to this. We have to secure the future of our children. Do you know what this word is? A major shirk. Not even a tiny shirk, major shirk. What happened if we die? Who will be for them? La hawla wa la quwwata illa. You want them to get lost? You're not a man. You do not have a heart. We have to save something for them. And we go to stock market, and the stock market go down. We go to the bank, and the bank go down. Or the child goes stray and spends the money, or even he died. What is the trial in here? We do shirk. By this way, word rub. Unless word rub coming to me. Like one scholar, he said something so beautiful. And this when I was almost 15 years old. He said, if you think about it, which was the first message in Mecca in the beginning of Revelation? Rab or Ilah? Rab. And when you believe in the Rab, the reality of Ilah come. By this way, if I believe in my Rab, now I can worship him. And this why our worship is empty. The why we do not have Rab. By this way, in the reality, we worship ourselves. But physically, we worship Allah. Why? Because Allah look at the heart, not the body. If you don't believe me, read the hadith. It's a lot of hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَادِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah did not look to your body and your money and status and how you look. Allah, He look in your heart. Is this understood? Word Rab. Rab, believe me, you cannot understand it in a session. Rab, you cannot understand it in a session. Rab, you have to comprehend it in your heart and live it. Is a status of the heart. Is a status of the mind. And this is why if you look at the Quran Makki, it hammers a message. Rab, 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 Rab. Surah Al-Fatiha. It starts with Ilahu Rab. Rab. The whole Quran Makki is Rab, Rab, Rab. It hammers. And later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started asking us, who's the Ilah? Who's the creator of all that? After he humbled the first one. And when this established, now the revelation started. You see, hijab came in Medina, not in Mecca. Hijab revealed in Medina. And what year in Medina? Anybody know? The revelation of hijab. When it revealed in Medina, which year?
6 or 7 after.
He said 6 or 7 after immigration. Okay, how much time Rasulullah spent in Medina? 10. According to the majority of the scholar, 10. Fasting when? 2nd year. Alcohol? Around this time, believe it or not, in Medina. Yes, hijab. Hijab is different scholar between 5th and 6th. Between 5th and 6th and even 7th. And even some scholar 8. Imagine why? When the people was ready. When the reality of Rabb al-Ilah established. Because once the reality of Ilah and Rabb establishes, the rest is fine. You will do, but you will not do it for your husband. You will not do it for your kids. Your kids will not do it for you. No, it's wrong. We have to build Islam to come from inside out, not outside in. Look at today, Arabic and your countries. Wonder what happened. We have beautiful Muslims, look so fantastic, but so dirty, so stink, inside out. Why? Because the reality of La ilaha illallah is not there. The reality of Rabb is not there. We cheat each other. We lie. We do not keep our word. Is no inequality of a Muslim. Once a plane arrives in any Muslim country, you know, it stink. You smell garbage all over. Once you see garbage all over, you are in a Muslim country. This is a calamity. And when we go to Europe, it's so clean and neat. Who following Islam? They do. Who's the enemy of Islam? We are. This reality. We mashallah, we happy about some masajid. Look at our masajid, it's empty. How many of us said, I will not marry a man with a beard? Why? They're so tough. They do this, they do that. They did this to me, they did this to so and so. Imagine. By this way, a man with a beard and a woman with hijab and niqab become the calamity of the ummah. When I was 16 years old, a scholar, may Allah give him mercy in his grave, mashallah scholar, a unique scholar, a real scholar, he lived and died for the message of Allah. His name is Jamil Ghazi, rahmatullahi alayhi. He's a unique scholar. Do you know what he used to say? He said, don't have beard in your face until you have it in your heart. Don't have hijab outside until you have it inside. And he used to talk to us, and let me tell you what he used to tell us. He said, please, don't have a beard and make your beard the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, because once you have a beard, people will look and say, look, look, this is a man who follows the sunnah. Look at his action, look at his manner, look at his conduct. Look, look. And becomes a majority of the Muslim against the man with a beard. Against the man with hijab, or the woman with hijab and niqab. Why? Of the amount of calamities they receive from such women and men. He said, fear Allah. Our ummah and people looking at you. The moment you have a beard, people said, this is the one he imitated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be careful. Because every hair in your beard will be witness to you or against you. He used to tell us, any man have a beard, hold your beard like that. And before you do anything, ask yourself, is this beard, I will allow it to be shown in such and such community or a situation? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at me now, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam look at me now, is this the action Rasulullah will love? Is the action be beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, be careful. Don't have a beard and be having no manner. He used to tell us, manner is number one. Now, manner is number one. Adab. Adab is number one. He used to encourage us, learning manner. Because people will be attracted to your manner or be away from your manner. Do you know, if I take you now to Egypt or Arabic country or even your country, when you deal with the average youth, you know what they say? We hate the people of Islam. Youth, supposed to be from Muslim family. But why? Why does he say that? Because you have a bad experience with supposed to be a Muslim, supposed to be the one who follows Islam. By this way, you know what I see? I see us, the one we claim we have Islam, we generated a big war between us and the majority of the Ummah. We make the majority of the Ummah hate us and hate Islam and hate the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because once you mention the Sunnah in the majority of the Ummah, they said, wow, it's so ugly, it's so tough, it's so mean, you people is so mean. Do you know, if somebody could use his name, you are in trouble. You are in big, deep trouble. When I was young, one scholar, and he was young, he told me, Ahmed, don't do da'wah to Allah. Don't ever invite to Allah. I said, why? He told me, it's so tough. And if you invite to Allah, even if you invite 1,000 to Allah, and you was the cause to let one person get away from Allah with your bad manner, this bad person will take you in the front of Allah and he will destroy all your good deeds. He said, don't ever let people away from Islam. Always be mercy. Let your toughness inside, not outside. Don't be tough over nobody. Because be careful, you will not stand in the front of Allah if you reject a person from Allah. And this, believe me, it scared me for almost 20 years. I never was wanted to do da'wah. I was scared. I was scared from the message. Because I know who am I. And all of a sudden, Allah opened. And here am I. But please, the da'wah of Rasulullah started with mercy. Just la ilaha illallah. And la ilaha illallah, believe me, is not a word. Do you know just la? People wrote books about la. Word la. What does la mean? Huh? What? Deny. Deny. Some scholar, do you know what he said? You will never have ilah unless you have la. La ilah. Look at them. La ilah. You deny yourself, you deny your plans, you deny your heart, you deny your heart, you deny everything for Allah. Now Allah arrived to your heart. Today, why we do not have the reality of iman in our heart? Because we are so slave to everything except of Allah. La is not established yet. La has to be established, number one. And this why, if you look to the Quran Makki, we're going to go through it very soon inshallah, start talking about who's Allah. Who's the creator? Who's the powerful? Who's the doer? Who's the owner? And it hammered. It hammers the same message over and over again for 13 years. Why? Why this message was hammered? to go deep in the heart. Some people said, why are you repeating yourself? The Quran is repeating itself for 13 years. Why? To the message be intact. Why do we memorize certain song? Why? Because we hear it over and over again until the song is inculcated inside our heart, engraved. Is this understood? Now, after that, we have Al-Muzammil wa Al-Muddathir. A scholar dispute, which one came first, Al-Muzammil or Al-Muddathir? Okay? Now, inshallah, what I want from you, read Al-Muzammil, Al-Muddathir, and Iqra, Surah Al-Alaq. And tomorrow, we talk about it in details. Not in detail, but we try to get the messages. Because I want to go quick to Surah Al-An'am. Why? Surah Al-An'am is the mother of Iman. Surah Al-An'am is the mother of Iman. If you learn it, you learn the whole Islam. If you don't learn it, you have no Islam. Surah Al-An'am. It carries one message, is the message we talk about. We're going to pick up the messages and we keep going. Now, inshallah, please, do your ultimate best. From now on, we come on time. Why? To make sure you do not miss anything and you do not make me lose time. Because from now on, I want to keep moving. I want to keep moving, by this way, the message intact. But you see now the message? Now, what's the first message in Surah Al-Muddathir and Al-Muzammil? To pray, to get closer to Allah, to do more meditation. You will hear it. I do not want to go through it now until you see it by yourself. What's the first message? The first message, get closer to Allah. The whole message in the beginning of Mecca, got closer to Allah. Now, today, we have the same example. Rasulullah and the companion was minority, we are minority. The majority is non-Muslim, the majority is non-Muslim. They are poor, we're supposed to be poor. We have no mean, they have more mean than us, they have more mean than us. They have more power, more power. More clans, more clans. More unity, more unity. But even then, the message in Mecca was only one. What is it? La ilaha illallah. Why? Because with Allah, do you need any power? With Allah, you need any money? With Allah, you need any knowledge? Like one of his father, he said something beautiful. He said, if you poor, and you said, I cannot do da'wah, I'm poor, Allah will bring you Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, is anybody poorer than you? You have no excuse. I'm illiterate. Rasulullah is illiterate. I have no knowledge. He have no knowledge. Because if you have Allah, you do not need anything. Allah can feed you and give you whatever you need. Now I have a question for you now. Are you awake or asleep? Are you awake or asleep? You sure? Okay. Now, who can give me one message about today? One message. One message you want to leave with?
Character is more important. Character, build the character.
Building character.
Sincerity.
Sincerity.
To get closer to Allah,
we rely on Allah. What, deny everything, mashallah. Including whom? Number one. Sincerity.
Rabb.
Mashallah. You have to hammer Rabb. We have to hammer Rabb. We have to walk and sleep with the word Rabb. Who's my Rabb? Rabb in English will say, who's my Lord? But in Arabic is more than that. He's my owner. My cherisher, my supporter, my provider, my protector, my doer. Imagine all this in Rab. If I know this Rab, is anybody else I can need? Tell me, is anybody I can need? No way. This is why what the following message was, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. But believe me, Allah is the greatest today. It need not only one session, it need years to realize who is the greatest in our life. Because in our life, is not Allah is my greatest. This was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they immigrate from Mecca to Medina, they immigrate singular, not collective. Why? Anybody know why? When the time coming from immigration, I know I'm jumping now 13 years, but why? When the immigration come, why? What happened? It's the ultimate trial. You tell me you love me, you tell me you believe me, you tell me you want me, come to me. Finished. The message come to me. What about my wife? What about my husband? What about my kids? It's not your business. Come to me. I'm the one. You coming to me or no? Finished. But today, you know what we do? Oh Allah, but my husband. Oh Allah, but my wife. And maybe you hate your wife or hate your husband, but you want to start with them. Why? Because you believe in them. Do you remember the last message a lot of you forget yesterday? When one young lady, very young lady, she was a wife of a companion, I do not know her name. Her husband went in the path of Allah. And he's leaving, completely, and he left. The woman like you coming later on, but not like you, forgive me and forgive them. No, forgive us, astaghfirullah al-azim. This woman, you know, we cannot say we are like them. You know, it's insult, astaghfirullah al-azim. Now, they said to her, the provider gone, the owner of the house gone. She said, quiet. My husband is not a provider, my husband is an eater. The eater is gone, the provider is staying. Look at the message. Look at the simple woman. She believed in Allah. What she said? The provider is staying, the eater is gone. I do not know my husband is a provider. I know my husband is an eater. Finished. Look at their belief. By the way, if I give you my story, who can read it as soon as possible and we discuss it? Honest to Allah. Because I want you to read my story and I want we talk about it. I have it. I'm willing to give it to you, but if you read it, and you have to read it as soon as possible, by this way, in 1 week or so, we can discuss it together. Who won it, and I will give it to them. Okay. Okay, inshallah.
I want it, but I want to finish it.
Read the maximum you can. Because believe it or not, if you just read it, can I tell you honest to Allah? Let me tell you something honest to Allah. If this is a life and death topic, do you think I cannot finish it tonight? Tell me, if this is a life and death topic, I will not finish it tonight? If I discover I have a disease, and people do not tell me I'm not sure, I will go to the internet, I will keep looking, day and night, I will call people, and I will go. This honesty system, I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah, when I used to have a book and soon I feel something about it, sometimes I cannot go to sleep. I cannot go to sleep. I keep reading until the following day. I forget even sleeping. But this, if your heart is alive. If your heart is alive, you will read it and a few days, not even one night, it will come to me with all kinds of questions. Because this book, I believe it is so eloquent book, explaining everything I said in details. And unless you understand this book, you are too far. Really, it will explain a lot about this ummah. Yes, Habib?
5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. Inshallah? Okay, after Salah, please, those who raise their hand and want the book, just give me a few minutes after Salah, I will get it from the car. Okay, I have it in the car, any amount. But in one condition, don't take it, put it on the shelf. Take it, start reading as soon as possible. You have a question, come to me. I do not mind. Okay? Yes? No problem. Just bear with, bear patient. After we finish Salah, I will get it to you. Okay? It will take a few minutes after Salah, inshallah. Okay, any question, any concern? Sees a nonsense and be quiet. Because in the front of Allah, each one of you is responsible. We, Muslim, adult and youth, we have no right to raise our voice in masajid. It's a sign of the Day of Judgment. A sign of the Day of Judgment to the voices in masajid will be raised and not for Allah. If you do not believe me, read about the chapter of the last days. In Imam Bukhari or any book. By this way, we have to get away from shirk, partner with Allah, association with Allah. And believe it or not, I can go through this topic for a long time because shirk is too many shirk. You have shirk al-ubudiyyah, there's a shirk of worship. You have shirk al-ubudiyyah, there's a shirk of partner with Allah in the ownership. And this 99% of a Muslim have it today. 99% of a Muslim having shirk or rububiyyah. Man or whatever. And I'm coming in here because my teacher oppressed me to come here. My mom pushed me to come here. What happened? You are a loser. Big loser. Big, huge loser. Now, what about my mommy or my teacher? Should we do that? Should we come in here because he push us, or are we coming by our will? I want you to talk. Okay, cameraman, let's go sleep. Okay, now, who can tell me honest Allah among you youth? Who coming in here because you want to come here, and who coming in here because mommy and teacher tell us to come here? I want the youth to talk. No mommy, don't look to your children. Honest to Allah. Please, tell me. Be honest. I see some faces, believe me, looking like a zombie. Or looking like in a wonderland. I see computer record here. Internet, games. You see, TV, nonsense. Really? Honest. Who among you really want to be here? And who among you do not want to be here? Honest. You want to be here? Honest? Really? Don't be shy. At least be a man or a woman. The first stage is honesty. You know why? Can you receive anything if you're sitting like a zombie? Or you're sitting like, you know, like a slipper? Really? A slipper goes from one room to another. Is a slipper really benefit from anyone? No. And this is actually what we do today. I look at our youth as a slipper. We willing to go anywhere with anybody without no any kind of any sense. And I ask yourself, is me a human being or a slipper? Really, ask yourself, is me a human being or a slipper? Why I allow everybody to let me do what I'm doing? Do you know the way we look like? The way we dress, the way we act. We're supposed to be what? A slave to Allah. A slave to Allah. Look at America and Europe. If an actor or an actress shaves a head, everybody shave. One earring. Two earring. Tight pants. Big pants. We imitate. Do you think today we are really free? No. Even your habits. What is a habit? It's slavery. The first stage of Islam will take you away from slavery. I will tell you something amazing. Is one imam in the early 40, he make a verdict, fatwa. Do you know what the fatwa is? You will not believe it, but be patient. He said, tea or coffee is haram. Tea or coffee is forbidden. If it will allow you to have a habit, change your manner. If a tea or coffee change your manner, become forbidden. Today I take you to Egypt, for example. Go to any office, department of any office in Oman. Come later, I cannot talk to you. I do not get my coffee yet. I do not get my tea yet. His manner cannot be established. He cannot stabilize his manner until he gets his tea or coffee. Do you know what it means? A state of ignorance. By this way, it's not the tea or coffee. It is any habit. Mommy, wait, I have to finish. Are you sitting like a monkey in the front of the computer for 2-3 hours just to finish some stupid things and silly things? Why? Because you're a slave. You're a slave. Why do we argue with each other over any things Islamically? Because we cannot take it. Why? We already slave to somebody else. By this way, when I ask you to be a slave to Allah, you can't. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never allow you to be a slave to Him unless you are pure to Him. You have to cut all your bad habits. Look at us sometime. I have to eat this today. If you don't make this to me, for me, I will not eat. Is this Islam? And the big husband, before he leave, I want such and such. You know, you can ask, you can request. And the wife also is stuck. No, she wants such and such. And she have in her heart, it has to be this way. And ding, ding, she called the cellular phone, the 911, where is my husband? He has to bring such and such from the market before he comes. I have to eat this today. Imagine, I have to. It coming in my heart. I have to do it. What it means? It's slavery. Can I have la ilaha illallah? No way. You will never match. I'm taking you to a very simple example, but a big example. By this way, from our youth, how is the youngest one among us here? Who's the youngest? How old? Please, who's the youngest? Yes, how old are you?
10.
Is anybody younger than 10? How much? 3?
9.
Okay. Do you consider yourself a baby or mashallah mature young lady? Make a decision. If you cannot make a decision, you are my mom. You have to make a decision. You do not know who you are. You're looking to everybody to make decisions for you. This is a calamity. This is why our education to our children is wrong. We should encourage them to develop their own personality. Aisha radiallahu anha is 9, and my kids do not know even she's a baby or she's an adult. And assume your kids, 10 years old, 11 years old, she's mature. In the front of Allah, her book is open. But she's acting like 7. Why is she acting like 7? Because we deal with her like 5. This topic is very important. Please, any one of you want to come or do not want to come, please, youth, young people, 9, 10, whatever, yes. What's that? Okay, next. You. Honest. Loud and clear. You want to come or you don't want to come? Why? What's that? I cannot hear you. Okay. Next. Yes. You won't come? Not mommy and daddy? Not my teacher? You sure? Don't be shy. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recording. Allah check our heart. Young lady in the back, all the way, yes. Okay. And right now, do you feel you won't come or no?
No, no.
What's that?
No.
MashaAllah. At least she's honest. I like honesty. Don't be a liar to yourself. Say the truth. All around the corner. You sure? But tell your mom to bring you early. Do not come late. Come on time, 11 o'clock or 10 minutes before 11. Who's next? The one who's black. Young lady, yes, you. Okay, how many percent? 50-50? No, sister. You cannot do 50-50. How old are you? You the one you won't get married? Okay, you won't get married, but it's 50-50? Imagine after you marry, you tell him, excuse me, 50% I won't marry you, 50% you are, bye-bye, out. You have to make a decision. 50% I will cook for you, 50% you have to eat outside. No, it's a bad habit to have doubt. You cannot stabilize your personality unless you believe. Believe, opposite of doubt. Now I'll give you 1 minute and you come to me back and you tell me what you want to do. Honest. Okay? 1 minute. Next, 9 years old. Honest. What's that? Okay. You sure? You know what you should do? You will wake up your mom and tell her we have to go on time. Okay? If you're coming late, I know it is your fault, not your mom. Okay? You will do? You will wake her up? Which way? A bucket of water. Okay? Next. You sure? Please, don't feel I'm pushing you. Don't feel pushed, because Islam is not by pushed. I prefer to sit down. Do nonsense outside better than sitting in here with the wrong intention. Be a person. I'm serious. Be a person. Sit, I'm a wacko, I'm a slipper, I like to be outside in the air, doing nothing. Blaming my toes and blaming my nose. No problem. I won't be a wacko, I do not want to grow up, I do not want to learn anything about Islam. No problem. But at least stand up for your belief. You understand me? Because if you do not stand up in your belief, you will not benefit in here. You understand me? Honest or not? Because I tell you something, all of you. I do not believe I'm from anybody. You want Allah, you will gain. You do not want Allah, you will never gain anything from me. Only if you sit with an honest intention, you won't gain. Who consider to be a youth? Next. How old are you first? 17. You're not a youth, you're an old lady. Okay. You won't come or no?
I want to come.
What's that?
I want to come.
You won't come by yourself, mashallah. Nobody wish you.
No.
You're sure? Okay. You sure? Nobody pushing you? Okay. Any other youth in here? Yes. Honest. You're not sitting like a zombie. Okay, tomorrow I will give you a test. You and her. You won't come or no? You sure? Okay, tomorrow you give me a summary of what you gained in the last 1 week. Okay? Summary. What coming in your heart? You do not have to repeat what I say. I do not expect you to do that. But say what's coming in your heart, and what you gain, and what you're aiming for. Okay, inshallah. All the youth, I tell them, please, tomorrow I want you to do that. Okay? Any other youth? How old are you in the 16? And how old are you? 15. You won't come or not? Honest to Allah. You sure? Okay? Same as you. Mommy or you? You sure? Okay, but you're coming late. You have to grab your mommy and come early. I'm serious. Because you cannot benefit in the middle. And actually something important, the engines. When we start halaqah, is an engines. The more we are early for Allah, the more Allah give us. Is a sign of hungry. Want, please, when you do that, it's very powerful. Yes? What's that? Yes.
Is it a
special program? How old are your kids?
Different ages.
Okay.
9, 10, 12.
Forcing is good unless you have a wisdom in the time of forcing. Why? Our kids do not know the benefit for themselves. They do not know. Actually, we force them in the opposite by paying the price for the cable and computer and internet and all this. Whereas we force them to be corrupted. Now is a price we have to do. We have to take all this out. Because if you do not take it out, they have no time to read. And the habit will not be broken. You have to take all this out. No problem, you see, but it has to be controlled in a time of homework, and that's it. Not to let them sit all day and night, and you go at 8 o'clock in the morning and they keep chatting. You are responsible in the front of Allah. Now for youth, it's very simple. I believe in youth. Are you are with me, youth? Bye-bye. Google bye-bye. When somebody's talking, you look. Young ladies, shh, are you all here? And all of you? Now, one of our job also as an adult, to attracting them to what we're talking about. They have to learn something from it. They have to feel they're growing. They have to feel something is for them. Because if I talk so hard, they will be a bye-bye and they're not gaining anything. I give all this example why? To maybe some of this example click in some of their heart. But the heart has to be aware. This awareness of the heart will not come overnight. It's very difficult. Why we did Muslim youth camp? We did a camp for 2 weeks. Why we did that? To take the kids from their environment to an environment completely different from them. Why? Because environment is very difficult. Do you know who we are? All of us, young and old, we are a product of environment. If we go back to Mecca time, the beginning of Revelation, do you know what happened? Islam was confined and was very stuck or, you know, liquidated in the small houses, the small rooms. There's no masjid in Mecca. No one single masjid in Mecca. And only one house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go there, and the companion used to, you know, escape at night at different times just to go to hear a couple of words from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once they have it, they go back to their own people and start inviting of what they know. By this way, I tell you, you want to gain what you have, start inviting number one yourself, inviting anybody around you to the goodness. Because if I keep inviting you, can you invite me? Tell me. If I'm inviting you, can you invite me? No, you did not have even the intention. By this way, any given time in life, either we are inviter or we are invited. Dick, I open the TV. Who's the inviter? Tell me, who's the inviter? TV, Shaitan, whatever. Who's the invited? Me. Who is telling Shaitan, come to my bedroom and give me some session? Me. Who's sitting chatting in a computer? Who's chatting in a television? Who's chatting in a telephone? Go ahead.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
I have three boys.
Okay. Yes.
I want to be here because I'm learning.
Okay. Okay.
They don't really
want
to be here.
They do not want
to be
here.
They want to be
here. How old are
they? 7, 10, and 11. They won't tell you that they don't want to be here.
Okay. It's you.
There's three of them. There should be three boys over there. And
come on. Are you 7? Come on here.
That's the little one.
Yeah, he cannot sit.
I want them to be here. So
yeah.
I'm pushing them to be here.
Okay.
Because I want to be here.
Okay.
Wait until I'm finished.
Yeah.
Until this is over. And I'm trying to explain to them they need to learn this. They need to want to learn it for themselves, the bigger one at least. The
sure.
The little one, I push him because he doesn't know any better.
No.
But I figure once they get to buy that division one.
Sure. Sure.
So just explain to them that this is, although they may not want to be here, they want to be.
Okay, what happened
to you? Be able to have patience.
Do you remember at the beginning of my session today what I said? Can we wake up somebody and from waking state we want him to be Mr. Perfect or Ms. Perfect? No way. All of us in a stage of awareness. All of us in the ultimate in a stage of awareness. My job is how I develop the awareness. How I develop the awareness. During this stage, something will happen to you by the will of Allah. If you sincere and have truthfulness in your heart, it will click. And it's called guidance, huda. Who will click in his heart? Let me tell you something as a parent. The biggest dawah to your parents cry to Allah and set intention. The biggest dawah to your parents cry to Allah and set intention. I never forget this woman. She's a Pakistani woman, she's a doctor. And she has almost 5 or 7 kids. Most of them is girls. And she has cancer. And all of a sudden she started dying. And she discovered she quit her job. But she quit it for a different reason. Not her illness, she discovered reality. Do you know what she used to say? I want my kids for Allah. I want my kids to be a sadaqah jariyah for me when I die. I want my kids to do good deed when I go in the grave, I can see their good deed in my grave. But you see, why we have to wait until we have cancer? Why we have to wait until we are ready to die? Why we wait until we have an accident? Why we wait until we have a calamity? Why? Why we don't start it early and put the seed and little by little will grow? By this way, even if you listen to some of the youth in here, they came in the beginning without their will. And if by the will of Allah, Allah opened their heart and generating some lightning and disease, she would come. But it would take time. By this way, also you have to go back home and establish the environment and control the environment a little bit. Take out all the bad habits. And the first one to do that is the parents. You have to set the role model. Not by talking, by action. And I will teach you something for Allah. If you do it, it's the most powerful. When you see your kids misbehaving, cry to Allah. Keep crying to Allah and say the truth. Allah forgive me, I'm the one. I used to do it. And my son used to come to me and tell me, why are you crying? I said, because I have bad manner. Because if I have a good manner, it will not be like you. I used to cry, because I used to cry really heavily, and I did not hide it. I used to cry to Allah and say, Allah, it's me, it's my behavior. Because if I'm good, if my intention is good, this planet will be my kids. But this one is starting by the parents, because you have to remember why Allah will put barakah in your kids. If you really want goodness to your kids, you start crying to Allah. You do charity, you do spending, you do sacrifice, Allah will put blessing in your seed. Even if all of them lost in front of you. My father, may Allah give him mercy in the grave, he taught me a lot of understanding, so beautiful. He used to see us when we are adult and we are doing nonsense. And he never advised. But every time he looked at us, when we are adult, meaning 14, 15, 16, he cried. This is all he does, he cried. And I went to him and I asked him, why are you crying? Allah give you money, Allah give you status, Allah give you everything, why are you crying? Listen to this carefully, all the mother and parents. He used to tell me a verse in the Quran make me cry. He said, us as a parents, we like our kids to be around us. It makes us happy to see our kids around us the way we like. But one verse, it ate me and it scared me. I said, what is that? He said, those are the ones who lost themselves and their family in the day of judgment. And this is the ultimate husran. الَّذِينَ خَسْرُوا أَنفُسُهُمْ وَأَهْلِهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. Those who lost themselves and their family in the day of judgment. And this is the ultimate khusran. This is the ultimate loss. And he used to tell me, I don't care where you guys are, but I care of where we're going to be united in Jannah. This is what I'm crying for. I tell him, why did God give me advice? He said, now you're an adult, your book is written. If I give you too much advice, you become rebellious and you will not listen. But only advice is good for you if you seek it and you run after it. I said, why are you crying too much at night? He said, I'm crying to maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at my situation and be merciful with me and give you guidance. He said, the crying of the parents and guidance to their own children. The crying of the parents give guidance to their own children. The charity of the parents give guidance to their own children. You see, today we want the children to be good by our way. It doesn't work. Guidance belongs to Allah. And you have to be busy with everybody coming toward Allah. Any one of you want Allah, I'm for her or him. What about my children? What happened if my children is not open? Allah not open for them. I cannot be paralyzed with one child. Because I belong to the Ummah and the Ummah belong to me. There's a misunderstanding today. I can give my children halal money, I can give them halal food, I can give them education, I can try. But if I see a blocking, I have to respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to keep going. Whoever Allah opened for him is mine, young or old. I cannot be paralyzed because they are my children. If the companion did that, none of us would be a Muslim today. None of us would be a Muslim today. Be careful with that. You cannot be paralyzed with your own children. What about others? What happens if you have a neighbor and their children is much better than you? What happens if you have a relative, your children is much better candidate more than my children? They should be more candidate more than my children. Because my children is not opening. It's not open for them. I have to make effort with those Allah open for them. Because if somebody Allah closed, can I open it? I can. We all try to build the seed, but after that Allah accepted from whom He wanted. And Salat al-Zuhr is inshaAllah very soon. Okay, inshaAllah. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiru wa atubu ilayk. Always leave with dua. Leave with contentment. Leave with tranquility. The beginning and the end of a session is so powerful in the eye of Allah. Now you're leaving, what you're leaving with? What you're leaving with your heart? If you're really honest to Allah, you'd be leaving like a paralyzed person. You should not talk anymore. You should only think about only one thing. Who's my Rabb? Who's my Rabb? Day and night, who's my Rabb? Who's my Rabb? Who I'm thinking about? Who's my Creator? Who's my Provider? Who's my Cherisher? Who's my Protector? Who's my Doer? Who? Who I really think about day and night? Keep thinking about the glare light until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the reality of Rabb inside you. اللهم دع البركة فيما نقول اللهم دع البركة فيما نقول اللهم بارك لنا فيما نقول ورزقنا الإخلاص في السر والعلانية ورزقنا الصدق في السر والعلانية ورزقنا التوفيق يا رب العالمين وانفعنا بما علمتنا يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم